Hey folks, my name is Dr. Amy Perlman. I'm a board-certified urologist with expertise in sexual, hormonal, and genitourinary health. And welcome to today's episode of Pearls and Perspectives. I have Polly Rodriguez here with us today. Polly, say hello to the crew.
Hi.
So we actually met because we have a mutual friend. And this friend said, hey, I know this woman, Polly. I want to introduce you to her because at the time, it was all these men that were coming out with products to pleasure women. And I think at the time you were like, hey, we need like a woman-owned company to create products for women. So if you could talk a little bit about your origin story, a little bit of an intro of yourself, and why this mission of your company is so personal to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So our mutual friend is Dave Ross, who is one of our first investors who believed in what we were doing. And I'm the CEO and co-founder of Unbound, which is a sexual wellness company. We design, manufacture, and sell vibrators, lubricants, and accessories. We've designed over 90 different products over the course of 12 years, and really with the goal of delivering on affordability and body-safe materials and accessibility both in design and in price. All of our products are under $100. And for me personally, I think a lot of women, femme, non-binary individuals all have their own horror stories of shopping in this category. But for me, it was going through a cancer diagnosis at 21 and going through menopause as a result of radiation treatment, but no one telling me that that was what was going to happen. And so my doctors did address the fact that I would be infertile and not have children, but no one said, you're also going to go through menopause and that there would be lifelong, you know, symptoms and consequences to that, which include lack of self-lubrication, pain during sex, dip in libido, like really serious side effects. And so I found myself shopping for lubricant at the only place in my hometown of St. Louis, Missouri that sold them, which was a Hustler Hollywood in a strip mall next to the airport. And it was just a shopping experience that it stuck with me as being embarrassing and not something that made me feel good in an environment where I already felt a lot of shame and embarrassment about going through menopause at such a young age and knowing so little about it. And so fast forward like 13 years later, and my co-founder, Sarah Jane, and I really did want to create an online destination where women could not only become educated in a way that didn't feel so stigmatized, but also to buy products that were reflective of a higher elevated design that weren't always these like, you know, pink, veiny, jelly, phallic looking products that were also safe to use. So that started it in 2014, and I've been working on it ever since.
So let me ask you, when you initially went through your cancer diagnosis and then were suffering from menopausal symptoms, what were your conversations like with your treating, you know, healthcare providers at the time when you had these consequences you were not anticipating? Were they open to having some of these discussions regarding like the pleasure aspect or reducing some of that pain?
You know, I think the short answer is no, but I think one, I was only 21 years old and it was in 2007. And I think because my prognosis was so poor, I was stage 3C. And so I think I give them a lot of benefit of the doubt in the sense that I think they were really trying to prioritize my like ability to make it out of cancer okay. But no, I looking back on it, I am shocked that no one's even uttered the word menopause, which is a medical condition and is a real, you know, formative life stage to go through at such a young age. And so not only did no one bring up the pleasure component, but no one even said, like, you're going to go through this really big life change. It was really only focused on fertility and making sure that I understood that I would never be able to biologically have my own children, which, you know, I could talk about the broader themes of that in society and how we really tend to, I mean, have a lot of thoughts about Freud, but the whole concept of the Madonna whore complex of how women are often viewed through this lens of fertility, motherhood, and then conversely, the hypersexualization of women. And that was a really, you know, fundamental for me. It was in starting this business, it was like, why is there no place in the middle where this is a component of our health and of our wellness in the way that we talk to men about it?
So if I had a megaphone, Polly, and I don't, but if I did and I could put it in front of you, what would your message be to, let's say, oncologists who are treating similar conditions where it's going to have these drastic impacts on sexual health? Like, what would that verbiage look like that you needed to hear 12 years ago?
To not be afraid to bring it up, because I think patients, at least for me as a patient, I was assuming that whatever that my doctor would triage and prioritize and inform me of any, outcomes or symptoms that I needed to be concerned about. And so I just assumed that because it wasn't brought up, it wasn't a problem or it wasn't an issue because I wasn't educated. And so I think this is applicable both within the medical field as also in the therapy field, where there's a lack of training and a lack of emphasis on sexuality and becoming educated in it and addressing it proactively as a component of a holistic view into health. And so I would urge medical professionals to proactively bring it up, because if you because patients have questions, I think. And they're often really too scared or intimidated, or embarrassed to bring those questions up, especially women.
So when I was in the state of Iowa for about 5 years, I was working with a woman, Erin Sullivan, and she had been diagnosed with anal cancer, had radiation, was never told she was going to suffer sexual health consequences, and then suffered terribly so in that regard. And so she created this initiative called All of Me, where she would educate healthcare providers to have these quality of life discussions. And there were certain like phrases that have stuck with me over the years that I've learned from her. And she said, whenever a healthcare provider is discussing quality of life concerns with patients, we should bring up sexual health. And so she helps healthcare providers come up with like this 30-second script. And this is something that I've used with patients. So let's say someone comes in and he's newly diagnosed with prostate cancer. It's so challenging for that guy to pick up everything that we're discussing. He probably retains a very small amount, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't mention it, right? So it might look something like this. It is very common to suffer sexual consequences as a result of prostate cancer and prostate cancer treatment. I know you have a lot going on right now, and that might not be top of mind, but if it becomes a concern of yours at any point in time in the future, I want you to feel comfortable bringing it to my attention. And then, a lot of healthcare providers that are in the oncology space, we don't necessarily treat sexual health, and that's okay. We can have an exit strategy. You might end that last phrase in that 30-second script could look something like, sexual health is out of my area of expertise, but if it becomes a concern of yours, then I have someone that I can refer you to, right? And then you can give them like a little packet, a little brochure, like a website, and that literally takes 20 or 30 seconds. What do you think about that?
Oh my gosh, I could not agree with you more, especially because I think often patients are, at least for me, like you're deer in headlights and you're trying to consume so much information. And so it's also the way you phrase that is so helpful because it gives someone the opportunity to absorb it and to think about it. And then it gives them the opportunity to come back later and say, hey, I've thought about this and I actually do have some questions. So it's this open door approach of like, we can talk about this when and if you ever would like to. Because it is, it's so, there's so much shame and stigma built into it, and there really shouldn't be. Because sex makes us all feel, I think, vulnerable and maybe uncomfortable, but none of us would be here without it. So it is a part of human life, and it doesn't need to be a conversation rooted in shame, I don't think.
Yeah. No, and I think the way that I kind of verbalize that 20 or 30 second script, it doesn't matter if a spouse is in the room, a child is in the room, like a friend is in the room. I have yet to kind of embarrass anyone when I bring that up because it really normalizes that conversation. I think the other piece that's really critical is it's never too early to have the conversation. It could be had at the time of diagnosis, even during treatment. I mean, what better way to cope with life stressors than to experience pleasure, right? And at any point after treatment, and so often when someone is going through their cancer journey, if they have a partner, it's no longer, let's say, husband and wife, and becomes, patient and caretaker. And then it's hard to then get that back and go back to what that, partnership looks like that's not so medical. And so the earlier that we can intervene, certainly the better. So let me ask you this. When you started coming up with your products, where do you even begin when you start this company?
Well, when we first started, we knew a little bit, but we did not know a lot. I mean, I had a career working on Capitol Hill for a senator and in management consulting, and then at a dating startup before I decided to get into this industry. And there were not many, if any at all, women in the industry. And so we started originally by selling other people's products because we did not have the funds or the backing to make our own products, which is really expensive because you have to make them in really high volumes and quantities. And so we sold over 2,000 different products that were already on the market as both a subscription box service and just an e-commerce online store. And through doing that and personally doing all of our customer service, we saw these really big gaps in the market in terms of affordability and design and just body safe materials. Because one thing that people don't know, I mean, there's a lot that people don't know about this industry because it's operated in the shadows for so long, is that there's no government oversight except for lubricants and condoms. So vibrators and dildos and butt plugs and all of these products that are under the umbrella of sexual wellness products are not regulated by the FDA. And so we realized that there is no testing and there can be carcinogens and parabens and phthalates used in these products. And the companies don't have to disclose that because they're considered novelty items. And so that's just one example of, through selling these products, how we realized where the market opportunity was. And we decided we wanted to make our own line of products. And we were, I think, the first company to go out and raise venture capital, which took me like 2.5 years to do. And we went out and made our first line. Now, that was in 2016. Since then, we have this huge, amazing group of community and beta testers. And we do all these surveys and we get all this customer feedback. And we combine that with leading technology from other industries that often isn't applied to an industry such as this, which, again, for a long time is just operated in the shadows because of the stigma and because of the barriers that exist. Everything from opening a banking account to being able to advertise are huge obstacles that prevent it from advancing and innovating. But we have vibrators with haptic technology. We have wearables. We have all of these really cool products that where we try to bring best-in-class technology to an industry that often doesn't have it.
So when you're talking to a venture capitalist, right, and you're pitching your idea, like, what does your elevator pitch look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while, but I mean, to be honest, and I don't know if this is like a disappointing answer, but I think the minute you walk in and you're pitching vibrators and dildos and things, people are like, who is this person? Why is she doing this? And so I always would lead with the cancer story of like, this is why I'm passionate about this. And this is why I know there is a need for this. Not to mention the industry is like $50 billion and growing at like 8 to 9% year over year. Like, it's a massive industry that just, so from like a business perspective, that's how I would always focus on it with the venture capitalists of like, it's a huge industry. It's incredibly fragmented. There's no leader dominating the space. And so telling the personal story to kind of get them to be vulnerable with me in the moment, combined with really presenting the business opportunity and then really trying to explain why we're differentiated. I think the valid point of feedback that we would come up against quite a bit is, you know, there are real obstacles and there's real gender discrimination in terms of products that cater to erectile dysfunction, which is a very valid health need, don't face any barriers to advertising and generally speaking, products that cater to male sexual needs, whether that's premature ejaculation, like any of these conditions, are allowed to advertise, whereas products that focus on pleasure for women are banned categorically and cannot be advertised anywhere, which is interesting because it falls under the guise of family planning. So for men, pleasure and family planning are one and the same because in order to, you know, have a family, you have to orgasm in order to procreate. Whereas for women, technically, those things are decoupled. So you can have a family without experiencing pleasure. And as a result, the products that are focused on fertility, so if it's birth control, if it's a menstruation product, those are technically allowed. But if we try to improve the experience for women, we try to reduce pain during sex, which is something that is Googled 4 times more frequently than erectile dysfunction, those products are considered inappropriate, and they're banned from social media, subway advertising, TV, radio. you name it, which is why you've never seen a vibrator ad before.
Wow, that's so crazy. So going back to, you know, how you got into this business and where you currently are there certain products that you've created that you find to be particularly useful for someone who suffered through cancer treatment?
Well, first and foremost, which won't come as a surprise, lubricant. Lubricant is, it gets such a bad rap, and there's so much stigma around, I think, women and self-lubrication and are you wet enough? And like, I could rant about that forever, but there are different types of lubrication. There's water-based lubrication, which is what we sell because it is compatible with silicone-based toys, which is the benefit of it. It also tends to do better with people that have sensitive skin. So if you tend to get like yeast infections, you want to make sure it's glycerin-free. So that's the pros of water-based lubricant.
And really quick, okay, because the glycerin, that's a big thing, because I've started looking more closely at the ingredient list, and there are a lot of cheap products out there that have glycerin in it. But when you talk to people who are in the lubricant industry, everyone's like, say no to the glycerin. Why is that so bad?
It's not that it's so bad. It just, if you are sensitive to yeast infections, glycerin is like, it's a sugar compound. And so it can yield higher yeast infections. And so it's, if you, and also you should always purchase a lubricant that is an FDA approved formula. Because one of the things I've also been noticing is there've been a lot of vaginal moisturizers, which are sold as kind of these apothecary lubricants, which are not FDA approved. And if you're actually putting it inside of your body into one of the most absorbent parts of your body, you really want to make sure it's a formula that's FDA approved.
So question for you, how do you know if it's FDA approved? And like when you come out with this product, do you have to go through that FDA approval process, or they've already listed these are the formulas that are FDA approved?
So one of the things that's really disappointing is there is, you have to ask the brand. You don't have to, because these are novelty products, I don't think that you are required. Now, if you go on Amazon and you say this is an FDA approved product, then you do as a seller have to prove to Amazon that you have that FDA certification, which we do. We did not pay because it costs like $200,000 to get a formula approved. So this is a private label formula that we pay someone who already has the formula approved from the FDA. We pay them and then put it in our packaging because it was the best formula out there out of all the ones we tested. But you have to ask them essentially. And also you can see on the packaging, it should say manufactured. So like this says on the back of our manufactured for Good Clean Love, which is who has the FDA certification. And then it's distributed by Unbound. So that is an FDA requirement. So you can see who manufactured it on the label. And if they don't have that, then most likely it's not an FDA approved formula because the FDA requires that in labeling.
Oh, gotcha. And I've heard really good things about the Good Clean Love, you know, lubricant formula. So when you're testing it, what makes a lube better than another? What's the feedback from patients that you hear?
Well, the other thing about all products in this category is it's so deeply personal. It's so deeply personal. And so you have to try to pick something that works for the greatest amount of people. I think with lubricant, it's smell and taste is very polarizing. So this has a very minimal, it has like a little slight natural vanilla scent. It's water-based. It is pH balancing. It uses aloe vera. So it's not, there are a lot of like flavored ones that are like caramel and creme brulee. And for us, that was just like a little too much. We wanted something that was pretty like neutral.
It reminds me of like going down like the protein bar aisle. And I used to have all of those, you know, artificially flavored products. And the creme brulee one never tastes like creme brulee. You know, no. So now I mean, let me go for more of a mild for anything.
But it's a personal preference. Some people like that. Some people do. So we wanted just like kind of a really good staple that was and doesn't have any parabens or carcinogens or phthalates in it. And is 98.
The interesting thing too, really quick, is that no one is ever offended by vanilla.
No.
You know, some of these other flavors can be very polarizing, but like, I don't think anyone in the history of anything has ever said, I'm offended by the flavor of vanilla.
Some people don't like it, though. Some people have written in. So right now we're actually working on developing a silicone lubricant, which is what I would actually recommend for anyone going through radiation treatment or cancer or experiencing pain with sex, with the caveat that silicone lubricants cannot be used with a silicone surface because it will erode it. So just remember, silicone does not go with silicone. They're like two negative battery ends repelling each other. So you cannot use a silicone lubricant on a silicone product. But the benefit of a silicone lubricant is that it lasts longer. The viscosity is a bit better, whereas like because it's water-based, it will dry out a bit faster. Water-based like won't stain your sheets as much. Like it won't – like it's not as heavy of a lubrication material, so to speak. But the silicone lubes, if you are really struggling with dryness and or pain, I think are more effective. They just tend to, I think, work a bit better. And last longer, but they also can stain your sheets a little bit more. So it's good maybe to like put a towel down or just be thoughtful about it.
Yeah. And that's a very similar conversation that I have with my patients. And I always like having, you know, samples of lube in my office because I do a little like, not like a taste test, but like a feel test where I have them put their hand out. I put like a little dollop of lube on their hands and I have them feel it. And they can tell very quickly how different a water-based feels from silicone.
Mm-hmm. And it just makes sex so much better. It really does. Even if you're not experiencing, you know, early onset menopause or pain during sex or dryness or any of these things, like lubricant just makes sex better for everyone. And I encourage everyone to use it because no one should be having painful sex. And I think a lot of people are.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting that you said that painful sex is Googled 4 times more often than erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the importance of lubricant. What else is really foundational for people who have gone through a cancer treatment process?
Well, I think a lot of people, I can't speak for a lot of people. I'll speak for myself, which is this like cognitive dissonance with your body of like feeling angry or resentful. I felt angry and resentful towards my body because it's like you're trying to kill me, but like I still have to connect with you and I still love you. And so like I think finding a vibrator that maybe helps you check in with yourself. And like for me, at least, it was about reclaiming my sexuality and reclaiming my body and realizing that like I do still have the ability to be aroused and like you can't take that away from me, proverbial cancer. And so I think, you know, I'll say 2 things. One is just simple external-based stimulation. So our best-selling product is a suction vibrator, which is quite small here, called Puff. Suction vibration is fairly new. Vibrator technology, which is just literally a weight that spins in a circle, was invented in the late 1800s. So it's been around forever. Whereas suction technology, as you can see, there's like a seal here and I can turn it on, although you probably won't be able to hear it, which is also great because it's really quiet. You have one there too. And so what it does is it pulses this driver back and forth that creates this rhythmic vibration almost. But what it's really doing is it's pulling the air pressure in and out of the chamber. So it creates like a sucking sensation where when it's put over the seal of the skin, mimics almost like oral sex in a way that's like much more targeted and pinpoint. And so if you're struggling with, I think, lack of sensitivity or lack of libido or just really struggling with arousal, this product does a very good job of targeted arousal. It's really effective. And it's just been our number one bestseller. And I think it's great because it's small and it's compact and it's discreet. And it's like $48. So this is our number one bestseller.
And I have a sense for why it is. I mean, you sent me some product to try out, and I will say this is like one of my new favorites. It feels different than vibration. It's a little bit difficult to explain. I find that like, my podcast is called Pearls in Perspective. So what would it be without giving my perspective?
Yes, please.
I'm getting personal here, Polly. Vibration can desensitize. the area if you use it for too long, especially if you're using like this constant vibration frequency, which I do hear some people are concerned, will it sort of like numb my genital tissue if I use it for too long, right? And I've been in that scenario before where maybe it takes me a little bit longer to climax. I'm using a vibrator for a longer period of time. And then I kind of like get over that peak where now I know it's just going to be really challenging to climax. But it seems like with this technology, the clitoral suction device, you don't get that same phenomenon.
Well, because it's different. It's not, you're not, to your point, with a traditional vibrator like a pull-out, our most powerful one, which is a wand vibrator, which have been around, the Hitachi Magic wand's been around forever. But you have a really big motor in a wand vibrator where you're putting that pressure up against the clitoris, and that pressure can, force it to, it can, I guess, in theory, like numb it a bit, as opposed to what a suction vibrator is doing, is you're putting this around the seal of the clitoral hood, and it's kind of like pulling it and creating that kind of pressure. So you're not like laying the motor flatly on top of it. So it is a different sensation for sure. And suction technology has just become overwhelmingly popular in like the last 5 years. Like it's kind of overtaken traditional like vibration vibrators in a pretty big way.
And I've even heard that for women who, let's say, have difficulty reaching climax with a vibrator, that trying a clitoral suction device might be the next thing that they try. Now, what I found too is that if I were going to use this, I would actually use this first, and then I would use like a magic wand like you have, because I agree, that thing is amazing, right? But if I use the magic or the wand first and then I use this, I don't feel this as much. So
Yes,
the
correct.
order also matters.
Agreed. And I think this will increase your sensitivity, will increase the sensitivity of your clitoris, whereas this may a wand like and this is like the most powerful vibrator that we make and sell. It may decrease it because these things are so powerful. And they're much like stronger and louder. But also if you're struggling with libido, I think wand vibrators can be really great because it's more of like a rumbly vibration, as opposed to like a bullet or a smaller vibrator that has a smaller motor, is going to be a little more buzzy. And that can be polarizing for people. I think if you're struggling with arousal, a more like rumbly vibration can be helpful, as opposed to like a high frequency, pitchy, buzzy one.
Probably. I'm so glad that you're reaffirming that my two favorite products.
Oh, yeah. They're the best.
So apparently I'm not the only one who enjoys that 1-2 punch.
Yeah, but I think another really important thing is if you're going through like if you're having painful internal sex, and like this varies person to person quite a bit. Like at least I know like going through menopause and your body is no longer producing estrogen and your vaginal wall is going to change, and it can be painful to have penetrative sex. And so we did create this other product called Bender, which is both internal and external, and it's very flexible. And so it has this kind of bulbous head where the motor is, and it's not too wide. It's probably like maybe an inch and a half in width, and it vibrates, and it has several settings. But if penetrative sex is difficult, it can be good to have a product where it's vibrating, so you're getting that stimulation externally on the clitoris, but you're also able to maybe use it and to see how painful is it with lubrication, to insert it and to see like, is this painful? Am I able to enjoy it? And to do that on your own before doing it with a partner.
And I like because actually all the products that you've shown so far can easily be used with a partner, right? So it's not, I have so many people that are like, oh, I'm worried about getting this for my wife because I'm worried it's going to replace me. And the reality is like, don't you want your partner to experience as much pleasure as possible? And when used as an adjunct, right? If you do like, penile-vaginal intercourse plus this at the same time, I mean, it's magical. Why wouldn't you want that for your partner? And this is so tiny that it doesn't get in the way, which I love.
And the other product we designed specifically for that issue was this ring that I'm wearing, which is also
Oh, I was
actually
about to say, what is that
a
bling?
it's a vibrator. So we wanted to design something that really addressed that issue for people that are so nervous to get a vibrator out in the middle of having partnered sex. We were like, can we create something that makes it easier to introduce? Now, the downside is, like, as I mentioned, the smaller the product is, the weaker the motor is going to be. That's just physics. But this is a product that we designed that if you buy it, it comes with the four different interchangeable band sizes. So it fits ring sizes like 4 to 11. So it's inclusive. But it has on the back of it like a button here. And then that's USB charging. And it has like all these different settings. So I don't know if you can hear it, but you can hear that on my keyboard, but no, it's
you can't really hear it.
Yeah, you can't hear it. But with the goal, it was actually in celebration of the 100-year anniversary of the cocktail ring, which was invented in the 1920s as a conversation piece when women got the vote and all these things. But we wanted to try to create a product that made that transition of bringing a motorized product into the bedroom a little bit easier and to have a conversation that felt more exciting, more sexy, more intriguing than it can be to bring out a product as large as a wand vibrator for the first time.
Yeah, I think that's like the most challenging piece, right? Actually purchasing one of these products and using them is not challenging. It's how do you bring this up when you're with someone in a way that the person is like, heck yeah, let's use this versus, oh, are you coming from a place of deficiency where this isn't good? Am I not good enough? Which is a very difficult conversation, I think, for people to get into, unless they're like sitting down with someone and having a very thoughtful and intentional conversation. I've messed up Polly so many times.
Really?
I've messed up. I'm like, this is like what I do. And yet I'm like, I'm so bad at it. But I will tell you this, Polly, again, another like pearl in perspective for the people listening. When I am with a partner that is so open to exploration and is so curious about different products, it completely changes the dynamic of the relationship and makes it so much better, where I can feel like I can be my most authentic self when I'm being intimate. And that is a feeling that one cannot really describe in terms of how that makes me feel as a woman.
It's also a two-way street. It's like, I don't know. It always surprises me when people have negative reactions, because it's like, if you're sharing something that is going to give you pleasure and improve an experience for you, that's a shared experience, why would your partner not want to participate in that? Like, it's just such a red flag to me. And also, it gives them permission to do the same. Because we're all, like, the thing that, and doing this for like 11 years now, the thing that I know for sure is that we all get bored sexually. We all are curious sexually. We all harbor trauma of one kind or another, and we're all so terrified to say what it is that we want to try or are interested in, because we're just so scared of being judged. And that is universally true. Doesn't matter who you are. And it makes me so sad when I hear those like stories of like people just kind of shutting down or whatever, because it's just like you're shutting yourself off to like this whole other world of possibilities that could be out there and experiences. And for what? Really? Because you're ashamed, because stigma, because, yeah. So, I mean, society ingrains it in us, but it's so silly to me.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we say that like people don't want to talk about it, but when we actually give people like this open space, the microphone, the stage to talk about it, they don't stop talking. I mean, I'm sure you're a hit at every party and like dinner conversation, right? Who doesn't want to hear about the work that you're doing? So people do want to talk about it.
Oh, desperately. I did a panel this week and I just got to the point where I always budget an hour after every event, because what happens every single time is as soon as the like Q&A, there'll be like a couple. And then after the panel, there'll be like a line. And this was an event with women that were all over the age of like 65, 70. And none of them had, and you know, they'd grown up in a different era, and like most of them like had never owned a vibrator, and they didn't want to ask in front of the group, but there was just like a line of all these questions of like, okay, which one should I buy? And like all these things, because your sexual identity and sexual experience is a lifelong relationship you're going to have with yourself. And I always say that, like, because we get, you know, one of my favorite customer service inbox inquiries that we get are moms that want to buy a vibrator for their daughter that's maybe going off to college or, and at first people be like, that's weird. And I'm like, no, it's not. Wouldn't you want your own daughter or child to have their own defined experience of pleasure before they go out and experience that with someone else? Like, wouldn't you want them to be able to provide informed consent of what feels good? Like, I think it's so healthy and good for a parent to want to encourage that for their kid and to make that a safe conversation as opposed to never talking about it, never bringing it up. And then it just furthers that being stigmatized.
Well, I love that. I've never even heard of that before, of like a mother, you know, getting a sexual wellness product for her daughter, but I love it. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, because it sends a message of just like, this is normal.
Yeah.
And if you're gonna have sex with a partner, you should be able to say like, this is what I like, or this is what feels good to me.
How do you respond to those inquiries?
Well, I usually will just suggest like one of our more like beginner friendly products. That's it's usually like they're going off to college, they're 18 or older, and something that's like, you know, they usually have roommates. So something that's not noisy, something that is USB rechargeable, affordable, and compact, because they usually don't have a lot of space. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the size matters, right? I think the size matters. I mean, that's like the age-old question, right? Does size matter? But, you know, you held up like that magic wand. So having that in a dorm room where there's limited storage space, or someone might be going through their things, or it's, you know, someone opens a drawer and they find it. You know, I hear that concern all the time. Or, you know, bringing that out, let's say you're with a partner for the first time, it's a little big. And the partner might be like, well, how am I supposed to compete with that?
Right.
So I agree. It seems like some of the more beginner ones to sort of get comfortable with it might be a smaller device.
Yeah. And we actually just launched this one last week, which is like it's a mini wand. So like this is like for size comparison. And we designed this one with accessibility in mind. So I still have a little bit of like hand neuropathy from chemotherapy, where like I was on this trial drug that ended up having like nerve damage in my hands. And so sometimes when I'm using a wand vibrator, the vibration transfers to the handle, and it makes for people with like any type of hand mobility or dexterity issue, like it makes it hard to hold it. And so we designed this product, and it has a handle that does not vibrate. So you can hold on to it a lot easier without like that vibration transferring. And it's just like, it's a lot more quiet and compact. It only has like one button. It's travel friendly, and this one's only like $40, whereas Ollie, which is a lot more powerful, named for Ollivander's wand shop and Harry Potter, whereas this one's Dex. Ollie's like I think like 76, and this is only like 40. So
can you change the frequency of the vibration on that mini one?
Yeah. It has four intensity settings and then four patterns.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, with that vibration transmitting to the handle, I've had people say before when they use a vibrator where it's like still in their hand, they don't like when that happens. So that's a very interesting innovation.
Yeah, we had to like do all this weird stuff with the springs to try to like internalize to stop that vibration, because this technology has been around for forever, but there hasn't been a ton of innovation, and it's tough because you have to make these products in such high quantities that if you change one little thing, you have to change the whole mold and like everything. So I've learned a ton about manufacturing since starting this business.
So let me ask you this, because most of the people watching this podcast are probably going to be urology colleagues of mine, mm-hmm. You know, who may or may not delve into the sexual health conversations. So what's your message for healthcare providers who are seeing patients who have pelvic health conditions where treating them might cause some sexual, you know, side effects? What is the role of sexual wellness products in our patients?
Well, they just make people's lives better. We have if you don't feel comfortable bringing it up, I would say, like, use your script, because it's so important to encourage them to talk to someone who is comfortable. Because like when we first launched the business, we were like, okay, we're going to have this return policy where like no questions asked, like for our products, like if someone doesn't like them, they can return them. We still to this day have a less than 2% return rate. The average for e-commerce overall is 28 to 30%, which just goes to show that like when we give people permission to buy these products, they are life-changing. And there are 40 to 45% of women report chronic difficulty reaching orgasm, especially during partnered sex. And so giving a woman permission to buy a product, or man or whomever, but I think in particular women, can really be the difference between her feeling like pleasure's not for me, sex is not for me, my body's broken, I don't deserve this, which were all narratives I had in my head going through menopause and cancer at 21, versus I'm going to reclaim this. I can experience pleasure. I am worthy of it. And this doesn't have to be this trauma that lives in the corner of my brain that I never think about, talk about, or acknowledge, which is a huge important part of all of our lives and identities. So it can be like just that one line of bringing it up as an important part of their prognosis and life outlook. It's so important. It's so, so, so important to bring up.
So a lot of my colleagues don't have like the expertise to sit down with a patient to say, you might want to consider this product or that product. So if someone goes to your website, will they kind of be walked through, or how might they decide what product to use?
Yeah. So we have both a quiz where you can put in information of like what life state, age, experience level, menopause, endometriosis, like all these different conditions. And it will spit out product recommendations for you. We also have a whole online magazine with lots of content that addresses these specific medical conditions. And last but not least, if you go to any of these individual product pages, if you go down to the review section, we've added for each person that leaves a review, they can self-identify as like somebody that went through menopause, someone who has endometriosis, how old they are, what their experience level is. And so you can see reviews by people that share that condition to see, did this product work for them? Did it not? So hopefully that type of information, which you don't see on typical sex toy shop stores, can help inform people. But ultimately, like, you're just not going to go wrong with a lubricant and a basic clitoral stimulating vibrator. I think that those are just two staples that like every household should have. Ours or anyone else's. I think there's so many great brands out there that are doing very similar work. There's no world in which someone will regret buying one, I don't think.
I love that you have those features on your website. I haven't seen that before either. And I think that's one of the biggest barriers for my colleagues, is they don't have the time or expertise to sit down with someone to walk them through. I have a whole room in my office, which is amazing, that is a sex toy room. And so if someone says, well, doc, which one do you recommend?
That's unheard of. That's so unheard of, by the way. Like, I've never heard of a doctor having that.
Well, I'm very grateful. I mean, I literally have a room that's dedicated to sex toys, but it is, that's a rarity, right? So most doctors are not going to have that or have the luxury of time to really discuss it. And the reality is, it could take me 20 minutes to help understand, you know, like, do you want to use it with a partner, hands-free, using a hand? What are you trying to stimulate? You know, what body part, what type of vibration? Like, it's just a long conversation. So I love on your website, you have those features that take the onus off the doctor in terms of trying to tease that out for their patient. So I absolutely love that. Polly, I'm reading a book right now called Love Worth Making. And in this book, it talks about how people have to be their own advocate for their own orgasm. And I feel like a product that is a sexual wellness product or a vibrator is helping women advocate for their own orgasm, because we will never advocate, you know, or we are going to be the best advocates for that pleasure. And so that onus is on us. It is not necessarily on our partners to do that for us. And then I would say lastly, you know, going into the holiday season, right? People have a difficult time. What am I going to get my partner for this holiday season? This is like the gift that keeps on giving. Right? Get a new product every holiday or every birthday. And it's like, you'll never run out of gifts.
Yeah. I completely agree. I mean, yeah, it's the best gift. I like, best part of my job is getting to like gift people vibrators, to be honest. But I agree with everything you just said, for sure. And the other thing I'll say is, if there are urologists, doctors, whomever, like 90% of sex toy stores have the most delightful, informed staff. So you don't have to know like what all the vibrators do. The staff at the stores know. So all you need to have is like a couple of reputable stores. Unbound is a good one. Mod is great. Getmod.com is a great website. They're the really traditional feminist ones like Babeland and Good Vibrations and Pleasure Chest and Lovers. Like, there's so many stores that have really informed staff that will help people with specific needs and conditions so that you don't have to know everything. Mm-hmm.
I love that. So, Polly, where can people find out more information about your company and your product?
Just unboundbabes.com. And then on social media, we're just at unboundbabes on all the different socials.
Awesome. Polly, thank you so much for joining us today on Pearls and Perspectives. Thanks for sending over some of these products. I had a great time using them. You also sent me over these like handcuffs, which by the way, I love because they're super comfortable. I'm not worried that like someone's going to lock me up and then I'm never going to be able to get out of them. So love these as well. And then I haven't tried this yet, but it's like the truth or dare cards. And I'm definitely going to hit these up.
Yeah. Amazing. Glad you like them. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Well, you have a great day. And folks, thanks for tuning in today.